Be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As is our tradition, would you read together with me the title of our message this morning, Minding Our Own Business. Based on the epistle lesson from Philippians chapter 2, listen to just verse 5. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. I encourage you to open your worship folder handout and find the sermon outline as we consider this theme this morning. Mind your own business. What do you think of when you hear somebody say these words? Mind your own business usually means these words are spoken to someone who is getting involved in something that is not or should not be their concern, that is, their business. But today is Palm Sunday, the Sunday in the church year in which we especially focus on the humble, lowly Savior entering Jerusalem on the donkey, coming to soon lay down his life on Calvary's cross, coming as an obedient, humble Savior, coming, whom the Bible says, came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. And today's epistle from Philippians chapter 2 tells us about Jesus' attitude, that is, his business, the reason he came. And here Paul tells the early church in Philippi in 60 AD, and he tells the church of today in 2015 what our attitude and what our business is to be about. So what is the business to which we should attend? Listen to the text again. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped. But he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant. Being made in the likeness of men, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. There you have it. Minding our own business, minding the business that God gives us, is to be Christians. Little Christs. And to be little Christ is to be like Jesus, to be humble, to be obedient, to be serving others instead of just looking after number one. Palm Sunday compels us to ask in the church today, in our homes today, are we really minding our own business? The business that God gives us to mind, to be like Jesus. To be like Jesus to others in this congregation. To be like Jesus to others in our families. To be like Jesus to others in our work and our community. To be Christ-like on Palm Sunday, we're reminded, is to be humble. And the root meaning of the word humble is to stoop down or to bow. We are humble when we realize who we really are in God's sight. A forgiven sinner. A forgiven sinner that seeks the welfare of others and not just our own. A story called the Parable of the Wheat Field illustrates this clearly. A young boy went into a wheat field with his grandfather. Look, Grandpa, see how strong and straight and true are those heads of wheat, those stalks of wheat. They've got to be the best wheat in the whole field. Those old stalks of wheat with their head bowed over, they must be good for nothing. Grandpa reached down and plucked a stalk of both kinds of wheat. And he said to his grandson, really, you've got it all wrong. It's just the opposite. The stalk that always stands up straight and true, getting attention for itself, is lightheaded. It hardly has any grain on it at all. It's almost worth nothing. But this stalk that hangs its head so heavily is just full of the best grain in the entire field. And it's doing what God created it to do. And so God tells us today, contrary to the opinion in the world in which we live, the world which says, look at me, look at me, look at me. The Bible tells us that true greatness in God's kingdom is a life of humble service, a life bowed before Him in every relationship, in every task. Like a bowed full head of wheat, it can best give Him praise and serve others, doing what it was created to do, minding the business for which God created it. So what is the business of the church? Why do we exist? What is the business of the church, whether it's Philippi in 60 AD or Richmond, BC in 2015? We need to ask this question. Does our Sunday singing match our Monday living? Are we one kind of person on Sunday morning, but an entirely different person in our lives Monday through Saturday? Does our singing match our living? This is a good question about singing and living, because this passage from Philippians chapter 2 is likely an example of one of the first hymns or songs ever sung in the new Christian church. If you open your Bibles and see the way it's printed, it'll be printed in poetic form, like we have it on our screen when we sing our songs. It's an example of how Christians sang, how they spoke, and what they thought about Jesus and what their role as His people were as well. So now what I want you to do this morning is flip your handout over to the other side. The handout where your outline is, would you flip it over, please? On the other side of that handout, you will find there the words recorded of this earliest Christian hymn, Philippians 2, 5 to 11. Would you read it, please, with me aloud? Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though He was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but He made Himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, being found in human form, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. By the use of this hymn, Paul is asking the church of Philippi in his day and the church of this day, does our Sunday singing match our Monday living? This hymn shows us a problem every bit as real in Philippi as it is in Richmond today. This hymn is praising the humility of Jesus, but reveals the problem in our own sinful flesh, the problem of, I want, and an attitude of, I want what I want, is destructive today. It's destructive in the home. It's destructive at work. It's destructive at school. It's destructive in the church. Today, let's just briefly talk about the church. You notice your sermon outline. Sometimes this problem has been called the 80-20 principle. It happens in almost every church I know. Here's how it can sound. Why, this is what I want, but I don't have time to help, and I don't have money to contribute, but let them do it. Now the question is, who is the them? In many congregations, the them ends up being the 20% of the people who are doing 80% of the work and donating 80% of the offerings. And after too long of doing this, the 20% get worn out and the mission of the congregation suffers. But here's the wonderful truth of Scripture. The solution is not for you and me to try harder. The solution is not for you and me to feel guilty and promise to do better. The solution is not for us to strive to be a better servant at home, at work, at school, and in the church. No. The biblical solution is in the person and in the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, who chooses to live in us and work through us for His kingdom. Today we're talking about MYOB, minding your own business. And our business is Jesus' business. And Jesus' business is both being our model outside of us and our power who lives in us so we can be His servants. First, Jesus' model. This is clearly laid out today in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 8. Verse 5 says, "Have this mind, have this attitude that you find in Christ Jesus." What was His mind or attitude? Jesus, our Savior, knew His rights. Knew His rights as a co-equal with God the Father and the Holy Spirit. But He willingly set those rights aside. He set those heavenly rights aside so He could come to meet our needs. Now He calls us to be who we already are in Him, forgiven sinners who lay aside our rights for the needs of others. Next, with Jesus as our model, being who He has called us to be, we serve and we don't just grab. Verse 6 says, "Though He was in the form of God, did not count equality with God something to be grasped, but He emptied Himself out." You see, the modern motto of our life today sounds like this: grab for all you can get. Be careful to look after number one. If you don't grab for all you can get and take care of your own rights, nobody else will. But Jesus did not grab onto His status as equal with the Father and the Spirit. He became a servant for you and me and for our salvation. And it is our joy today to follow in our Savior's footsteps, not just grabbing for ourselves. Next, this ancient hymn in Philippians chapter 2 tells us this: that is one in whom Jesus lives, by the power of His resurrection living in us, we identify with sinners. We identify with people who are having difficulties in their lives, who aren't measuring up to what they think they should be doing. We identify with them. We don't just prejudge them. Listen to the text, verse 7. "But Jesus made Himself nothing, and taking the form of a servant, He was born in the likeness of men." Jesus became a human being, a person, so that He would fully know our needs, fully know our hurts, fully know our fears. You remember the old gospel song? Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows but Jesus. And now Jesus is calling to believers, in whom he already lives by the power of his Holy Spirit, to take time in our lives, to slow down from prejudging people who are having troubles, to take time to learn their hurts, their needs, and their fears before prejudging them. Another aspect of MYOB, minding our business. But finally, our Lord Jesus, as our Lord and model, teaches us that love is a decision. It's not just a feeling. Today in our world, people think of love as just a feeling. I fell in love. I feel in love. My palms are sweaty. My heart is beating. I feel lovey-dovey. According to Holy Scripture, love is not a feeling. It's a decision, an act of the will. It's a decision to set aside my perceived rights for the real needs of others. Verse 8 says this, "And Jesus, found in human form, humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross." This was Jesus' decision of love for you and for all sinners. And as he lives in your heart by the power of the Holy Spirit, he enables you and all believers to love others as well. 1 John 4:19 says, "We love because he loved us first." But now for the best news of all for the sermon for today. Holy Scripture tells us clearly that Jesus is not just our model. He is our very power and the living Lord that lives in us so we can be the people he's called us to be. Jesus only asks us to do today what his resurrection power enables us to do. Right after this hymn, listen to the very next verses that come up. Verse 13 says, and listen carefully now, "For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and work for his pleasure." Did you catch it? God is at work in you to work and will for his pleasure. Connected to our Lord through faith, the Holy Spirit works in our hearts both the will and the ability to live and serve as Jesus did. And Paul says much the same thing in Ephesians 3. Listen to the text. "That God would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." If you've tuned out of the sermon, now's the time to really listen. Here are the three main points of our message today. Jesus, our Savior, forgives us for not living God's way. Jesus, our model, shows us how to live God's way. Jesus, our risen Lord, lives in us and empowers us to live God's way. Look at those nail-pierced hands. His nail-pierced and resurrected hands have touched you. You are precious to him. Story is told of an auction in which the auctioneer holds up a battered, beaten down, dusty old violin, hoping to get something for this seemingly useless instrument. The auctioneer says, "Come on, folks, who'll start the bidding at $2? Somebody give me just $2. And nobody bids. The room is silent. Then from the back of the room comes a stooped over, bowed, white-haired gentleman. He gently picks up the violin. He lovingly dusts it off. He tightens the string and finds the bow and plays on this violin the most wonderful melody that catches everybody's attention. He hands the violin back to the auctioneer. And the auctioneer, with a whole different attitude, says, "Who will give me 100? Who will give me 200? Who will give me $300 for this wonderful instrument?" And after the violin has sold for much more than anybody could have imagined, a person from the audience comes to the auctioneer and says, "What made the difference? What made the difference? What changed the worth of that violin?" And the auctioneer simply said, "It was only the touch of the master's hand." My friends, you have been touched. Yes, I'm talking about you. And you. And you. You have been touched by the master's hand. You have been touched by the master's nail-pierced hands. You are precious beyond price. You are a light in this world in darkness. Now, in Jesus' name, and in the power of His resurrection that lives in your heart as a baptized child of God, go into your daily lives, loving and serving others as Jesus would. This is minding our own business. What a wonderful business to be in. In Jesus' name. Amen.